Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Archer Daniels Midland Company says that it has picked Chicago to be the site of its new global headquarters. The company's North American headquarters will remain in Decatur. ADM picked Chicago, even though Illinois lawmakers did not pass a sought-after tax incentive package. ADM wanted up to $30 million in tax breaks to keep the global headquarters in Illinois. The Illinois Senate and a House committee approved the deal during a special legislative session earlier this month, but the House adjourned without voting on the measure. ADM originally said about 100 employees would be located at the new global headquarters and that a technology center with about 100 additional jobs also would open at the new site. Instead, the company will relocate 60 to 70 employees from its current global headquarters in Decatur, less than half the number of jobs ADM originally planned to create, and no longer promises to build a technology center. Canadian monthly wholesale trade jumped almost 5 times faster than expected in October to the highest level on record, with the largest increase in sales of machinery and equipment in 10 years and the highest ever gain in sales of farm products. The overall value of sales grew 1.4%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 15,867. It's up 57 points. The NASDAQ, 3467, up 7. And the S&P 500 is trading at 1778, and it is up 5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Linner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are expected to change rather dramatically over the next 4 or 5 days, and we'll likely see it in a little variety in the sense that some areas will be quite warm and dryish for a little while, and then we'll see a major winter storm bearing down on many areas in the lower and eastern parts of the region. Well, first, we've got a warming trend that's going to be underway. This warm-up will certainly be welcome to quite a few areas. The temperatures will get upwards into the 50s, and perhaps a few readings getting up over 60 degrees in the lower eastern Midwest during the height of the warm-up. The warming trend will occur tomorrow into Friday. We'll likely see those 60-degree readings near the Ohio River. In contrast, it'll be still quite cold in the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt and the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota. We'll see temperatures tomorrow and on Friday falling back into the positive and negative single-digit readings, mostly positive single digits, and some teens will also occur. Now, some of that cold air will work its way southward into the majority of the western Corn Belt as we get into Friday into Saturday, and that's the reason for the potential for some heavy snow to evolve across some of the western Corn Belt and also the northern areas. We are also expecting that cold air to feed in to a potential severe weather event in the lower eastern Midwest and Delta, maybe a part of the Tennessee River Basin. This too will occur because temperatures are going to be quite cold on the backside of a frontal system and still very warm ahead of it. There may even be some lower 80 degree highs in parts of the lower Mississippi River Basin as we finish out this work week, and similar conditions may occur in the southeast corner of the country as well. And with that contrasting with those temperatures in the teens and 20s in the western Corn Belt, certainly the dynamics of the storm system coming up are going to be quite impressive. The storm system itself will start in the southern plains on Friday into Saturday. The storm system will generate rain and snow both across some of that region. The majority of the precipitation will start off somewhat innocent looking, but we'll see a little band of heavier precipitation beginning to evolve across part of West Texas crop country. But it's really going to be the Delta and the lower eastern Midwest where the heaviest rains will occur, and that's going to be mostly Saturday into Sunday. Some 1 to 3 inch amounts will be occurring in that region with some potential for 4 inches or more possibly. We'll see how the storm system comes together. Now, there will be heavy snow that will develop maybe in parts of the Texas Texas Panhandle and northern Oklahoma, and then go from there into Michigan on the backside of the storm system. It's a little soon to buy into it completely, but there's certainly enough cold air in the plains to support the event. The question is where the track of the heaviest snow is going to be precisely, and we'll know more about that in another day or two. Right now, we'll be very conservative with the snowfall and run it from 3 to 8 inches, but I have to be real honest with you, there's potential for much greater snowfall than that in a narrow band across the region. We'll keep an eye on that over the next day or so. Once the storm system is out of the way, late this weekend, we'll see colder air moving through the Midwest. Their temperatures will come back down into something that's a little bit more typical for winter, and we'll likely see those afternoon highs falling back into some 20s and 30s across a fair amount of the Midwest. Northern areas will probably see some teens for highs. This will all occur late in the weekend and early next week. We'll look for the low temperatures at night to fall below zero into the upper parts of the Midwest, mostly the Dakotas and Minnesota, maybe some negative teens in a few locations there on the backside of this event on Saturday or Sunday mornings. And then we'll likely look for single digits and teens occurring down into parts of Iowa, maybe teens into Kansas and Missouri, and eventually across the Great Lakes region when the cold finally gets into those areas early next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter wheat is 661.5, down 2.25. Soft May wheat, 623.75, down 2.25. March corn, 428.75, up 2. July, 444.25, up 2.25. January soybeans, 1346.25, down 0.25. July, 1301.5, down 1.75. January soybean meal, 451.20, up 3.20. January soybean oil, 39.15, down 16 cents. December live cattle, 131.67.5, down 7.5. January feeder cattle, 166.57.5, down 57.5. And February lean hogs are 86.40, and they are up 75. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Dave.
It is a very muted and quiet market this week.
Well, we have seen some upward movement, which is encouraging. I think another thing for producers to watch is the basis is kind of coming together and improving a bit. As we look forward, I think we've got some reasons this market go up. The funds jumped in yesterday, and if they continue to short cover, we can maybe see some more extended rally in the next few days before Christmas.
You know, when you look at the charts, what caught my eye was the soy meal chart. New contract highs there yesterday. We've gapped on the chart. And technically, you might make a case for something along the lines of 464. I suppose I could pull the beans up another 15 or 20 cents.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this cold and snowy weather the country's been experiencing, Dave, for the livestock sector, that does mean more feed is used. I think that's part of the driving force there. Of course, the export business is key to moving those beans out of the country. And when you put the total package together, we've got some fundamental reasons. We got some technical reasons on the chart to say we can have an extended little rally here. The question comes back to producers, though, what level, how do they take advantage of it? I don't think we'd expect this run to go on forever, but an opportunity for guys who have some old crop left to maybe move that crop on the next week or two of a move up.
Would you also want to gently consider hedging new crop?
I think so. When you look at the market and the spot it is for new crop corn and beans, getting started, if these are the worst sales you make, I guess we'll think the market is maybe more positive than the general perspective right now. So getting started based upon what your budget is for next year if you know your input cost, getting some things going, getting some things priced in the 475 December corn level. And November beans, 1175 area has been tough to get through. Those are kind of targets we're shooting for to start the process of selling next year's crop.
The average guesses for Friday's cattle on feed report have been released on feed 1 December. The guess, 95.4% placed November, 100.9% marketed in November, 94.6%. Are these numbers realized? Will the market move much?
Cattle are just a long-term process, Dave. The numbers are very tight. You know, we found a demand base, even though beef is high-priced product, we found enough consumers that are willing to pay for that product. It looks like a market that has been trading kind of sideways here, and we do believe there's more upside in the cattle market as we move forward. So hogs may be a different story, but cattle look pretty strong here.
Thank you much, Chuck.
Thank you, Dave.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace. March corn is 428 and a quarter, up 1.5. July, 443 and three quarters, up 1.75. January beans, 1345 and three quarters, down three quarters. July, 1301 and a quarter, down 2. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.